WTIC. All right, so it's Philosophy Friday. Are people inherently good or bad? This is a very political question because one of the defenses you frequently hear about people in politics is, or in general people in politics, is, do you think they're all bad people? Because the way I talk, you would think, I think everybody in the business is insidious. But no, I don't. That's part of what's insidious about the business. I think the business of power is insidious. It's like what they say about money. But there's nothing wrong with money. That expression should be about the root of all evil. The root of all evil is power. Because power brings people flocking in, looking for something for nothing. And all the problems we have, it seems to me, have to do with that dynamic. And what happens then is an industry builds up in which honest people enter with stars in their eyes, delighted to help their communities and represent their communities. And then they get inside that power structure and they become part of it. And becoming part of it means that you play the game the way the people who are there play it. And leadership is in control and they expect things and you do the things they expect in order to get what you need to get reelected. And the whole thing gets turned on its head. So that's why this principle, I think, is important. Are people inherently good? Yes, I think people are inherently good. I think people want to do the best for other people. I think most people want to be kind and want good results. But I'm not sure if that completely answers the questions. Maybe there's a higher standard we need to have. All I'm saying is that if you look at people outside of pressure, I can't think of too many people I've met who I thought weren't inherently good. The question is, what are people willing to do, or what are they capable of doing to resist an environment where there's all kinds of nasty stuff going on? I don't know what the answer to that is, except training. We used to train people to be good, I think, and we don't do that anymore. And we used to teach people they had to live by some values and morality, and now we eschew values and morality. What do you think? 860-522-9842. Don calling from Southbury. Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi, Todd. Very interesting question that you're posing. And just in full disclosure, I want to tell you that I'm a religious person, mm-hmm. so I believe in the existence of God and the devil.
Okay.
And I think that people are inherently good, and I do think people are, you know, over a course of a lifetime, get affected by evil to different degrees. And I think yesterday you had mentioned the word devil, and you said your producer kind of gave you a little wrinkled nose over using that terminology. But my wife and I have definitely come to the conclusion that the devil has found a home in the Democrat Party. It's not to say that Republicans are all angels, but when you see at the federal level their platform, they went out of their way to remove the word God from their platform. And when you can promote laws that call for the killing of babies up to 9 months, I would think that that's pretty evil. So I definitely do agree with you in your use of that term yesterday in regards to Democrats.
All right, Don. Thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. The devil. I don't know who is the devil and who isn't the devil, even though I did use the term yesterday. I wasn't using it in the literal sense that Don is using it. However, I do think that people are inclined to do the wrong thing when put under pressure to do it. And that pressure usually has to do with when they've worked hard for a long time to get to a certain place, and they want to maintain that position. 860-522-9842. Quick traffic and weather update, then we'll continue the conversation. The question is, are people inherently good or evil? It's Philosophy Friday. It's WTIC. Thanks so much for being part of the program. Philosophy Friday. Love this philosophy talk. Let's go to Rick next. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
Happy to have you here. What's going on?
The old good or evil argument. I would suggest, though, that you're missing the obvious.
Okay.
I think people are born inherently neutral. And they learn to be good or they learn to be evil. And if they learn to be good, there's going to be greater temptations in their life throughout their life to be evil. Because I think there is an overriding evil out there. However, we can definitely choose to be good, either through learning about love through our parents or learning through the Bible or believing in God or those things.
Well, so what's the overriding evil you're referring to?
Well, I think there's an evil in the world. I think if you want to call it the devil, you want to call it Satan, you want to just call it an evil goblin out there. I don't know what you want to call it, but every society recognizes there is an evil force out there.
I just want to understand how you conceptualize this. It's not that people have evil motivations, because you said you think people are neutral, but you think there are forces in the universe that induce people to do the wrong thing. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I do. I think that some people, they want to be really good, and they still do bad things. You know, we even see examples that some of what we would call historically the greatest people that have lived in the world, even like David and Solomon, who they were induced to do bad things, even though they started out wanting to do really good things. That doesn't mean that they were bad forever, but that one act was a bad act, but then they returned to doing good things.
Okay. We are all sinners, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. We're all going to make mistakes.
Okay.
But we have choices. We have choices every single day we have to make.
Yes, and they can be tough choices, and sometimes we don't even see the choice that we're making, and
yeah,
we don't see the wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that's even harder for people that can't open their eyes, you know?
Wow. That's good. Rick, you're a good philosopher. I like it. Thank you so much, sir. 860-522-9842. Are people good or are they bad when they pop out and take their first breath? What's your assessment of that? I assume you think about it, because I think about it a lot. Maybe it's because I'm thinking about politics so much, though. I wonder how, you know, you look at what's going on right now in this state, and you have a group of people who just took power, and they're doing exactly what the state needs to not have happen. And what could make them do something so bad? What could make them be so nasty and vicious? It's disgusting. 860-522-WTIC, Anne in New Britain. Hello, Anne.
Hi there.
Thank you for responding to this question. We need more females on this. Go ahead.
Okay. Money's not evil. The love of money is evil.
Mm-hmm.
The love of it. And the heart is desperately wicked. But God knows that, and he's given us ammunition to overcome it.
What's the ammunition? Anne?
Search for God in your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of wisdom that's been passed down from generation to generation. For example, the scriptures. And if you have a sincere desire to do and to be good, you will connect with God and he'll lead you in better paths. For people who are in politics, who, because Satan's the God of this world, he set it up so that the more power you have, the more you have to cooperate with evil to get more power. And there are ways to live right and to serve the people without falling into the trap of loving money. But if you love money, forget it.
All right.
So it's like it's a tough situation right now because they've kicked God out of everything.
Yeah. I like how you lay that out. I think it's really helpful, Anne, because I don't believe in God, and yet I would describe myself in the terms that you described. It just wouldn't, it's not the literal thing that you imagine God to be, but it's goodness. So I try to get goodness into my heart. I try to get positiveness and caring about other people into my heart. And I think you're right that that's what you need to be doing. That's what people need to be doing. But the trouble is, when you get yourself in a situation where there is inducement, where there is motivation, where there are incentives to shut your eyes to the badness of what you're doing and embrace the excitement that it offers. And I think maybe that describes how the state got in the situation it's in. And it explains how it's possible for a new governor and a new legislature, a newly empowered Democratic Party, to be pushing all the policies that are bad for the state. And they can know absolutely that these things are bad for the state. Even if they think that fundamentally they would be good over the long term, they know there couldn't be a worse time to do things like paid family medical leave, $15 minimum wage, expanding taxes by $1 billion, putting in tolls for $1 billion. They know all these things are crushing doom for the state, and yes, and yet they pursue them anyway. 860-522-9842, Victor in Hartford. Hi, Victor.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk. I believe we're all born with an inclination to worship. Worship something, worship whatever it is that you want to worship. Because there's something we're looking for in life, and then some of us just connect to the right things. I believe everyone is spiritual. I mean, I know that a lot of people, most people I know, would park over and help an old lady cross the street with a lot of bags. So there's spirituality in us. But the issue
is... Well, why is that spirituality as opposed to just goodness and compassion?
Say again?
Why is that spirituality as opposed to goodness and compassion?
Well, because it's qualities, it's connections we make to make us feel better. Like if I do that, if I help you cross the street because you're old and you got all these bags, I feel so good about doing that versus shooting somebody or killing somebody. So the more good I do, the better I feel and closer to what I believe are things that I value. Mm-hmm. You know, like raising my family and doing things and vote for things that are going to go towards towards what I believe, like no abortion, you know, looking out for the elderly and things like that.
Okay, so now I'm losing what your point is. Bring me back to what it is you believe about good. Are people good?
People, to me, are naturally born bad. And I know they say, no, people are good people. Well, to me, I argue that because we're lost. We have to make a connection with something that helps us become good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're naturally get into things that we don't want to do unless we connect with a group of people or belief system or value things that are good, and then we begin to feel that good. We
yeah.
begin to get in contact with something spiritual that
All right,
that's
we've never
known.
That's a really interesting point you're making, Victor, and I almost agree with you, but I do think there's some people who are just born, and Paul Simon had a song, "Some Folks' Lives Roll Easy." Some folks, everything's just smooth and good, and they're positive and upbeat, and they love everybody around them, and they have great success, and the natural. You know, some people are just the natural. It's interesting. Thanks for the call. We'll take more calls on this coming up.
Power to the people! Power to the people! Power to the people!
WTIC. Yes.
Power to
we are rocking power to the people. That's what we're all about here on WTIC. Todd Feinberg with you, and we are talking about good versus evil. Are people coming into the world good or evil, do you think? Good or bad? Which way do we lean naturally? Do you believe there is a lean, or if it's something that develops over time? I do believe that the chance of getting a person who understands when there is a critical philosophical decision to be made that is at one of those key junctures in the road, developing people who can make the right decision when under pressure takes training. And that if people are trained, they're way better situated in terms of making good decisions and avoiding pitfalls. What do you think? 860-522-WTIC. Carlo in Newington.
Yes, hi, Todd. How are you?
Thank you for the call, Carlo. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, well, my viewpoint on people in terms of when they're born and throughout a lifetime, whether they're good or bad, I think that it probably can be explained generally in terms of science, in terms of psychology, biology, even chemistry, in terms of, you know, chemistry.
Give us an example of how that might be.
Well, for example, I think that generally, for the most part, probably most of the population is born in terms of probably having a predisposition genetically, and eventually as they develop through their
lifetime. Yeah, but what would that predisposition be towards? Because there isn't a psychology of goodness, is there?
I think that probably people are generally born with the predisposition to develop to be generally good in society, to contribute to society in positive ways. And then there's probably a small percentage of people that unfortunately are born with probably the predisposition that they'll develop the quote-unquote bad tendencies, and unfortunately later in life people like that will be more involved.
Interesting. So it would be like everything.
Criminal behavior.
It would be like everything else in humans, that we run the spectrum of options in each characteristic.
Right. That's what I think. Yeah, that's what I think. And I think, though, that even people that have that, which I think is a small percentage of the population, that have the predisposition to be really on the bad end, they probably, some of them at least, could be influenced enough through, different types of influences from society to be more on the good side. And yet, you know, even people that are on the good side, which I think is most people, unfortunately, due to societal pressures at times when there's difficult decisions, as you were saying, to make, unfortunately, they might not make the best decisions. Like you said, probably training is real important to help people.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's clear that people are better off if they've been practiced in, that's what teaching is giving somebody's mind practice on dealing with situations and being prepared to confront them. Give us a call. We've got a couple open phone lines. We want to know if you think humans are inherently good or bad. 860-522-9842. WTIC, we are here. Where are you? 860-522-9842. Open phone lines. Tell us, good or evil. Which side are you on? That is, which do you think is the inherent state of mankind? Which way are we naturally inclined? My answer is similar to a call we got a couple of minutes ago. I think that we are more psychological than anything else. Humans are incredibly complex in terms of what drives our behavior. And we have these constructs like good or evil. Is a person good or is a person bad? We see little slivers of what people are through their personalities. And personalities are things that people hone carefully to create a face for the outside world that hides the things that won't be popular and makes available the things that make you look good. Isn't that what causes us to operate in certain ways? And if you look at politicians, what do? They learn to smile, make you feel good. They learn to make you feel good. The way they look at you, the way they smile, the way they talk, the way they shake hands, the way they put a hand on your shoulder or on your forearm when they shake your hand. They cultivate making you like them. And your liking them is a result of them having cultivated that ability to make you feel that way, not necessarily something connected to whether they're actually likable or not. What do you think about that? Jim, hello there. You're next on WTIC.
Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, I think man is neither good nor evil. He's both. And it's really a duality of man kind of argument. What happens after he's born, nature versus nurture, is really what kind of develops him and his choice in behaviors, his choice in actions. That determines whether he's judged as good or bad.
Yeah, but between the two, between nature and nurture, I'm glad you brought this up, between who you are being the alignment of your genetic code or the influence of experience on that genetic predisposition, which do you think is the more powerful force?
And see, that's a good one because no two people are the same. You know, you could have, say, Whitey Bulger and Billy Bulger. Both grew up in the same household. Both had dramatically different outcomes.
Well, they maybe were very similar people who simply made slightly different decisions.
Yeah. Do I kill a bunch of people or do I not kill a bunch of people?
Well, you know, Whitey sought power and Billy sought power.
Yeah, do they both have that same drive? What made Whitey choose his path and Billy choose his?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it wasn't that big of a differentiation. It might have been one night when, you know, when Whitey got himself in some trouble, and maybe Billy did a lot of bad things too, and then saw that you could do bad in politics and get praised for it, and he decided to go that way instead.
And that's really comes down to the question. And I think it's a matter of free will, ultimately.
Well, there's another good philosophical question. Thank you for that, sir. 860-522-9842. Okay, phone lines are open, so if you want to get in on this, you can jump right in. I love that idea. I love all those ideas that Jim just brought up. Nature versus nurture. I think we are like 90% genetic code. We are defined to a large extent by genetic code, and then that genetic code can be influenced. For example, you ever notice how kids from the same family can appear to have the same experiences growing up but have dramatically different outcomes, like the Bulgers? If you're not familiar, Whitey Bulger, the criminal from Boston, and his brother Billy Bulger was the state Senate president and then the head of the UMass system for a while. And to me, there was no difference between the two of them as people. I couldn't discern a difference, which is unfair, I guess, because I wouldn't be saying that about Billy Bulger if Whitey hadn't been a notorious, most wanted criminal. But Billy stayed loyal to Whitey. Billy wouldn't divulge details of phone calls that he had with his brother when his brother was on the lam. Most wanted character, FBI looking for him. Billy was very coy about what he would do to help. I don't know that they were that different. 860-522-9842. Jay in Manchester. Hello, Jay. Oh, wait 1 second. I'm sorry, I lost track of the time. We've got to get a quick traffic report in, and then we'll come to you, Jay. Yeah. Good or bad, what are we? Dan calling from Winstead. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi, Todd. How you doing?
Thank you for the call, sir. I'm good.
Excellent. Glad to hear that.
I am good, not evil.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in what I think is a missing element here in some of the conversation I've been hearing your comments.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think there's a portion of karma in past life events and energies that are carried forward from lifetimes.
So you think we're victims of unseen forces that we have no consciousness of and no control over?
Well, I'd say that, you know, let me peel back that layer a little bit. I think as we come into this world, we're essentially good. And, for instance, two people could have identical circumstances. You could have identical twins growing up in the same household, same environment, nature versus nurture being, you know, as close as possible. And they can have completely different outcomes as far as their good and bad behavior. And I think the element that influences that is an energy tied into karma from past lifetime experiences.
And where do you, have you seen evidence that makes you feel this way? Or it's just an idea that you like? Like, how did you get to this belief?
Well, I've had a lot of, some of the readings that I've come across are consistent with some personal experiences. And I grew up in a household that was, wasn't really very religious, you know. Went through Hebrew school, grew up, did the bar mitzvah thing, but I didn't believe in God until more recently, where I had a personal experience, which changed my whole perception and belief instantly.
Okay.
And it was phenomenal. I was standing next to a friend of mine who had more knowledge and experience about this process and a way of connecting with God and connecting with our spirit. And I felt something instantly that he was trying to achieve, that basically I got his benefit, or I was the recipient of his.
You mean he was working to get hit by lightning and you caught the bolt?
Well, he was showing me a way to speak to your God presence.
Okay.
In a particular way. And there's a process which you look up and give a decree, that sort of thing. And I felt something in my heart that I never felt before as soon as he said this.
So that's awesome. Up. What a great story.
Yeah, it really was. It changed my whole life instantly. And
was he mad?
Oh, no, not at all. He was happy for me. He thought it was a gift from my God presence, in a sense. And haven't looked back, as the saying goes.
Congratulations. That's a great story. Love hearing that. 860-522-9842. I can't relate to it at all, except I can imagine suddenly having that feeling, just a feeling come over you where everything's different. I can see that. But the other stuff, though, the idea of us being influenced by past experiences, and for me, life feels very measurable. You can tell, you can see what the causes and effects are, and it's not so mysterious, and I don't think it comes from phantom places. I think it's tangible. That's my take on it. But, you know, we've all had different experiences, so it's not that I'm right or you're wrong. I'm just telling you how I feel. Jay in Manchester, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a great topic for everyone, you know, of all shapes and sizes to get in on. I want to say I pretty much in an abstract sense, agree with everyone who was called up on the show. But I think
you agree with everybody.
Well, in an abstract sense, in, you know, taking bits and pieces from each person, you know, because we kind of went over the science part. You know, someone can have, it's been scientifically proven. We do things because of our brain and the chemicals in our brain. That's why they say, you know, chemical imbalance, whatever the scientists say. You know, I'm not an expert in that sense. And, you know, we've also heard callers talk about, you know, experiences and how they, you know, and that's imaginable too. You know, it's understandable that someone could be turned good or bad or whatever it is. But I think a lot of the sense that we're missing is, you know, what is good and evil, and, you know, who's deciding good and evil. You know, if you go,
well, that's a good question. What is good and evil? You have to define that before you can know if we are one or the other inherently.
Right. So obviously, you know, this is a pretty complex response that's, you know, going to cover all the bases. So, you know,
well, we don't want to cover all the bases. We just want to get to first base, I think.
Well, I think we've gone over a lot of them, and putting the pieces together, I think, you know, from what I've thought about, is the end point. And, you know, the good and evil part, change time frames and go back a few centuries. You know, someone who maybe murdered someone or who was brutal, whatever it was, may have been, you know, admired in a community or a culture, and then, you know, flip that to now in present day, and, you know, change our values and morals as a society. And I think that's what really constitutes whether a person is good or evil.
All right, Jay, thank you so much for your input on this. Good to have you involved. 860-522-WTIC. Thurston calling from New Britain. Hello, Thurston. Oh, wait a sec. I've got to push that button. Go ahead.
Hi, Todd. I want to know where these people who think people are inherently good, where they hang out. Who are these majority of people that are inherently good?
Do you know a lot of bad people?
I don't. Well, I'll get to that. But I know a lot of people that have inherent tendencies that could come out if there weren't the, you know, the religious, the societal conditioning that's in place.
So people have to be trained to be good, you think, and that's a fight against their natural tendencies. And that's why religion is there.
I think that's...
And that's why government is there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we have laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's why anything, because inherently everybody is capable of some evil act. And unfortunately, you know, that's how we're like you said, we need to be conditioned out of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do well with it, but there are very few people, I think, that are inherently good.
Well, I agree with everything, I think, but your conclusion, I think most people are inclined to be good, but we get into squeezes, and that's when the badness gets revealed.